Watch Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. It is Sam and Greg on this Sunday morning, 18th day of August. Good morning, Georgia!
Morning!
And a good morning to all you, see, is this individual or is this Doobie Brothers? I guess Doobie Brothers fans in Palmetto. Everybody in Palmetto.
All right, all the way down there in South Fulton. Right down the right on the Coweta County line, Palmetto.
And throughout the show, we have been sending prayers up to the folks up in Paulding County, specifically the Sheriff's Department, who lost a couple deputies in an event. You can see it on the news yesterday. So reached out to Fire Chief Brandon, who's a regular on the show, and just to let him know we're thinking about him up there. And he just said, long night.
Yeah.
Long night up
Understandable.
There.
Understandable.
Anyway, we have got a couple guests coming up in this 9 o'clock hour before we get you ready for a day of just sports action. And this person, we actually should have came back with the Olympian theme, right?
Yeah.
Well, I probably don't want to hear it from me. Would you do the honors?
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, throughout the last 3 weeks, we heard a lot about Olympians with ties to our area, and we're very proud of this man and what he was able to do, bringing home the gold in the 4x400 relay. Chris Bailey, welcome to Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Congratulations!
We're proud of you, man. Good morning.
Yes, sir.
Hello, good morning. Thank you.
Well, talk about being over there. I mean, and being a part of it. We watched it from here. What was it like for you being there in Paris?
You know, it's always a different atmosphere when we go overseas to compete. Track and field in Europe is like one of the major sports here, like football, basketball, right. Baseball. So to compete in front of 80,000 fans, you know, is just out of this world. The energy is different. You know, it gives you a different type of adrenaline rush. Outside of competition, being in the village, you know, seeing athletes, elite athletes of different calibers that participate in different sports, you know, it's just amazing.
Now, we discovered something when talking to Gail Devers and some other Olympians that we had had on the show here. Were you a part of the opening ceremonies? Because I can't remember when you first started your events. But we found out the folks who were running, performing early, didn't participate in the opening ceremonies. So were you there, and what was it like being on that boat?
So, yes, I did get to participate. The opening ceremony was the week before track and field started.
Okay.
And it was an experience. A lot of people don't get to see, like, the behind-the-scenes of it. It was a lot of waiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This was a different opening ceremony for this Olympics, because normally it's always done at, I believe, the track and field stadium. This time we were on the river.
Well, what time did you, Chris, start. What time did your day start? Let's put it that way.
The opening ceremony was in the afternoon, so.
Right.
So I had time to, you know, go practice, come back to the village, shower, eat, you know, get all that stuff done. And, of course, the opening ceremony was optional. But, you know, me being a first-time Olympian, I had to experience that.
I didn't know that. I didn't know it was optional.
Well, guess what Gail Devers said. She's never taken part of it because when she was in the Olympics, track started sooner. Tracks at the back end of the Olympics these days.
I'm just thinking, okay, the man just said he went and practiced. He got home, had some breakfast, all that sort of stuff. And I'm just thinking, you have the world's athletes about to come down this river. You got to get to the boat. I'm sure there was some kind of practice thing they ran through or somebody told them, okay, y'all got to be here by such and such a time. When you got the world of athletes one by one conga lining down this river, I'm thinking your day starts at 4 in the morning. That's just me. But apparently it didn't for you.
Nope. Because, you know, it's a lot of different disciplines regarding, you know, the different athletes in their sports. So everybody has to have time to mentally prepare for their upcoming competitions and stuff. So they don't force you to, you know, partake in these activities. And they also don't make them early in the morning to where it'll throw off your schedule for the rest of the day.
So they can't keep the main thing the main thing. Folks, we're spending time this morning with Chris Bailey. Great to spend some time with him. And he is social. You want to look him up. He is at CB400M, CB400M. At what point did you want to make this a goal? there are a lot of people who are great when running on track teams, track clubs, high school, college, and then there are people who make Olympics a goal. At what point did the light go on for you?
I would have to say this season, honestly, because in high school and even in college, you know, I wasn't always one of the top guys. Like, I was never really highly ranked. I mean, coming out of high school, before I graduated, I was running 48.5 in the 400. You know, I decided to run summer track just because I didn't know my next move. Mm-hmm. And I ran 47.5, and my first college coach just so happened to be at that meet, and he offered me a scholarship on the spot. And that's how I started my track and field journey in college at Mississippi Valley State University. You know, ran there for a year and transferred to University of Tennessee. You know, spent my time there, and now I'm here in Arkansas. And, you know, that's where all the puzzle pieces started aligning, I would say. You know, last year I thought that was the best season ever because I finally broke that 45-second barrier. You know, I made my first world team as a relay alternate. And then, you know, everything just kind of fell into place this season because I finished up my master's this year, and it allowed me to focus more on the track side of things instead of having to worry about school or, you know, peaking for four different championships like I did in college. You know, everything was more laid back. And I feel as though that was a key component in allowing me to drop my times this year and, you know, focus on things outside of running, like recovery, mm-hmm. and, you know, just being mentally aware of what I wanted to do and focusing on my goals. You know, I came back home in April, I believe, to run at a track meet in Atlanta, mm-hmm. and I ran a lifetime personal best. That's when I first broke 45 seconds this season, ran a 44.4. And at that moment, that's when I knew, okay, I'm prepared for this. I can make this Olympic team. And that was the goal, and I achieved that.
I'm just curious, Christopher Bailey joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. I know it's not just your sport, but I'm just saying, you got to figure. I wonder what my time would be. What is your time in the 100?
My time in the 100?
Yeah.
That comes from high school. I haven't ran 100 since 2018.
Okay.
But it was, I think it was 10.98.
10.9?
Yep.
Yeah, yep. I don't like him.
Well,
because he can run faster than the speed limit in some cities. That's why I don't like him. Hey, well, go ahead, man.
That's fantastic, friend. Well, you mentioned high school. Give some shout outs to some people at Carver, some people here in town that really saw you and gave you some encouragement here.
Oh yeah, shout out pretty much everybody at Carver that had a role in getting me to where I am today. It'll be a lot of names to name, so I ain't gonna hold up time like that. But
okay.
You know, my track coaches, rest in peace, Coach Kevin Bell. Mm-hmm. You know, still got Coach Perry up there. You know, Sergeant Major Mitchell, rest in peace to him too. He was my JROTC instructor actually, mm-hmm. But he saw my potential one day. We were just out at the track, and you know, he gave me that nudge to actually join the track team or go try out for the track team. And so, you know, I give kudos to him for that.
Fantastic.
Go
ahead. Anybody else?
Coach Scott as well. You know, he didn't coach me directly, but you know, he's always supported me. Coach Miles, Coach Q, you know, all of those guys.
Fantastic. All right, talk about the race, 4x400, and, you know, we know what happened with the 4x100. So you guys, were you feeling pressure because of that? And you had to get things off to a good start. You getting into the blocks, how you visualizing this thing?
So starting the 4x4 final, mentally I was going in there and I was like, okay, this is not your first time running the 400 here. That was my fifth 400 in 7 days, because I also, you know, ran in the 400. I mean, yeah, the open 400 final.
Mm-hmm.
So I had three rounds of that. Then I also ran the prelims for the 4x4. And so, you know, mentally I was prepared. I wasn't worried about anyone else. I was just focused on getting that baton around the track as quick as I can. And I wanted it to be a little quicker, I'm not going to lie. But, you know, I can't be disappointed at that, because I ran 44.8 first rounds of the 400. I set a new personal best in the semis with 44.31. And then I ran 44.58 out of lane two in the final. And so, you know, I couldn't be too disappointed about my performance. I got the baton around in 44.58, so it wasn't a slouch. You know, the world record, their lead off, Andrew Vollman, he ran 44.5 as well. So, you know. And Coach Quincy Watts was there. He's also one of the guys on that world record 4x4 team.
Right.
I went to him and I was like, man, I wanted to run 43 out of blocks. He was like, do you know how many times someone has ran under 44.5 lead off? And I was like, yeah, that's true. But I wanted to do it. But,
well, hopefully this is the first of many medals for you.
Of course.
You know, you got your sights set on Los Angeles. This is going to be great. You get your home folks coming in. It's not even a big road trip for that one.
Right.
That is true.
Now, you'll spend the next few years over in Europe and being at those events?
So, yes. Me and my agents will sit down and plan out a schedule.
Okay.
But, yes, I will be in Europe a lot this upcoming season.
All right. Well, hopefully at some point we get to see you run back here in Atlanta. I know everybody will love to come out and see you. A lot of people who know you, remember you. And so we'll hopefully at some point we get you on the schedule and get you on the track here in town. All right?
Absolutely.
Yes, sir.
All right. That is, we appreciate you spending some time with you, man. Everybody here in town is really proud of you.
Yes, Chris.
And keep it up. More good things coming on along the way. And thanks for spending some time with us this morning.
Absolutely. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Thank y'all. Thank y'all for having me.
All right.
It was a pleasure.
This is our how many gold medalists have we? I can't remember last time we had this many gold medalists.
I know it.
I know it. In 1 year. And this dude, he just starting his.
Yes, this is fantastic.
It's gonna be wonderful.
And you know, and talk about his journey. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Some people know back when they're in teenage. It's kind of a late bloomer, you might say.
Right.
But he saw it and went after it and he got it.
As long as you get to the party, don't matter when.
How about long
as you get there. Switching gears, NASCAR's got some stuff going on, so we gotta talk to Dustin Long. He's up next. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Is the place you ought to be, so they loaded up the truck and they moved to Beverly Hills, that is, swimming pools, movie stars.
The Beverly Hillbillies.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Yeah, I referred to my family as that earlier. So Noel, being on the ball, decided to throw that in there, and thank you. Because, you know, we all shake our heads at times when it comes to our family, and the phrase that comes to mind is, why is it so easy to love them, but so hard to like them?
That happens sometimes.
I mean, please. Anyway, that's not why you called. We got a guy on here right now. We got some questions for a friend of the show, Dustin Long, NBC, covering NASCAR. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning from Pitt Road at Michigan International Speedway. Looking forward to some action and drama here later this afternoon on USA Network.
Action and drama,
right. Love how he throws that up in there, right?
Because there is a lot of that happening in NASCAR this week, Dustin. I'm trying to think of where do we start with this? I guess we start with the finish last week at Richmond, right?
Start with the finish. There you go. dramatic finish at Richmond last weekend. Race went into overtime. Austin Dillon looked like he was set to win that race, went to the overtime restart. Joey Logano took the lead, pulled away, and then on the last lap, last couple of corners, Austin Dillon just sending in the corners. hit the rear of Joey Logano, spun him out, sent him into the wall. But as that happened, it moved Dylan up the track, and Denny Hamlin came underneath him and was going to get by him to win the race. And he and Dylan, Dylan came down, Hamlin came up, and you know, NASCAR ruled that Dylan hooked Hamlin in the right rear, and it, you know, turned Hamlin into the wall. And all of a sudden, there's Dylan crossing the finish line, taking the checkered flag. And Joey Logano's upset. Denny Hamlin's frustrated after the race. And when everybody left Sunday night at Richmond, Austin Dillon was the winner. And with the NASCAR, you know, system, if you win a race in the regular season, you make the playoffs. Austin Dillon was 32nd in the points entering the night. So he, the only way he could make the playoffs was to win a race. So Sunday night, Austin Dillon was in the playoffs. Well, come Wednesday afternoon, Austin Dillon still had that win, but NASCAR ruled that the playoff eligibility that went with it would be stripped away. So Dillon has the win from Richmond, but he's not in the playoffs. Now, Richard Childress Racing will appeal penalty, and that appeal is scheduled to be heard Wednesday morning in the Charlotte area. So Austin Dillon still has a chance to get that playoff eligibility back, but I think the odds would be against it. But hey, if you're Richard Childress Racing, you've got to try it because of all the factors involved with it, but also the difference of being 30th in points or 32nd in points and being a playoff contender. Talking to some car owners, that you're talking about $2.5-3 million difference, and so there's a lot of money at stake here, along with trying to, you know, get the playoff eligibility.
You know, Dustin, it wasn't Ross Chastain from last year, which I thoroughly loved how this thing ended. But my question is this: is the argument going to be on intent? Because the first one I could, you know, the first crash I could see him running into the back of the guy, but can you question his intent in the second part when it came to Denny Hamlin and how they came together as a reason why, well, hey, you guys are going to take this race away. The first part, okay, I was trying to make some room, but the second one wasn't my fault. Is there any room for that argument to be applied here, and that's the reason why he should be awarded a spot in the playoffs?
Well, I think Richard Childress Racing, the folks have been, you know, talking with Dylan yesterday, and you know, he didn't want to say too much about the appeal because, hey, he says, look, it's like a trial, and I don't want to give up what we're going to talk about ahead of time and give NASCAR a few days to, you know, build their defense around. I think there's a couple things that you could look at, and that may be one of them, but I think they're also probably going to look at, you know, the stripping the playoff eligibility and you know, how that fits with what the rule book says.
Yeah.
Now, Dylan kept the victory because NASCAR said that they did not have a true mechanism based on the rule book to take the win away. So, look, there's a lot of lawyers speaking. There's a lot of lawyers working hard behind the scenes on this one.
Wow, we got lawyers at work. We got cars on the track. This is NASCAR this week, folks. Spending time on the waitfor.com hotline with Dustin Long from NBC Sports. And he is social. You can always find him at Dustin Long, at Dustin Long. Okay, we're going to be on the track today, and Hamlin's on the pole. Qualifying was washed out. What's the key with this particular layout at Michigan? Because it kind of imitates some other tracks that they drive at.
Yeah, it's high speeds. I mean, they're going to be going close to 200 miles an hour as they enter the corners at times. So this is one of the fastest tracks out there. One of the things that's interesting, and we saw this in this race last year, where you'd see guys race side by side, and at times the guy on the inside would lose control and spin and hit the wall. And because they lost some of the aero effect being underneath the other car, it was something that happened to Kyle Busch with somebody that wrecked early because of that. Christopher Bell was battling Alex Bowman for the lead in the second stage in last year's race. And the same thing happened to him and he crashed. And I talked to Christopher about that. And he says, look, you know, there's not as much side force on these cars. And so we've always been pretty cautious, but they've been building a little bit more side force in it. And as we get more and more aggressive, you kind of make some of these moves. And, you know, I've just got to take from that and learn from that because I had a really good car that could win and I didn't get the opportunity to. So that's going to be one thing to watch during today's broadcast is when cars get side by side, how close they get. does that affect the car on the inside? And you know, does that lead to cautions and how that affects the race? And again, there's, you know, there's also the a little bit, there's the potential for some weather today, for the potential for some rain. I will say that the forecast looks so much better than it did earlier in the week. Earlier in the week, it was just like, are they even going to get this race in? But now it's like, the forecast is showing that the race will get, should get started on time. And then it's just a matter of, 40-50% chance of rain, maybe during the race. Does it come? Does it not? How does that impact how guys race? Are they racing to halfway? Are they racing to the full distance or somewhere in between? How do crew chiefs make pit calls and decisions with three races left in the regular season? So many drivers trying to win races to get in the playoffs. So many drivers in the playoffs trying to get another win to get those extra playoff points. There's a lot at stake, and you throw in the whole weather factor. As these cars are going close to 200 miles an hour, decisions are being made in split seconds. It really can make things especially fascinating this afternoon.
Dustin Long, NBC's joining Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Hey, what can you say about we got word that the clash in the Coliseum is being moved cross-country. Is this having to do with the Olympics coming to L.A. in a few years?
No, I think it's basically, NASCAR will move the clash next year, the season-opening exhibition race to Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina.
I've been there. You know, once again,
have you been there for football or race?
I've been there for both. I've been to Bowman Gray.
Okay.
Yeah, man. Absolutely.
Because Bowman Gray is the home for Winston-Salem State University. And I think it also hosts high school football games. I think a long time ago I covered some high school football games there. So, but yeah, it's a quarter mile track. It has been, if people may have heard it in the past, it is known as the Madhouse. There once was a series on television. I'm going to say it was on the History Channel, just about a season at the Madhouse and just the chaos that happens. But when you have tight racing, there's often a lot of tempers, and there are temper tantrums, and guys have done stuff with their cars that have just kind of been outlandish. And that's, the reputation Bowman Gray has had. So moving the clash, and that'll be February 2nd, 2025, moving it from L.A. to Bowman Gray. And basically, the three-year contract was up for the Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum. And, I think the first year the experiment was very successful. They had about 50,000 or so people there for that first year, and they wanted to kind of reach a market where they had a lot of fans and also try to reach out to a lot of new fans. And then the second year, I probably had, the 45,000 roughly. So it was down a little bit. And then last year, you had a situation where this year you had all the rain in Southern California that was coming. And what happened is they had to run the race the day before. So, not really much of a crowd for that because of just the late change on that. So it moves to Bowman Gray, and again, that's a historic track. It's hosted 29 NASCAR Cup races. It has not hosted a Cup race. Last time it did was 1971. So it's going to be interesting.
Richard Petty win there.
Richard Petty has won there.
Yeah.
Bobby Allison has won there. Lee Petty has won there. So it's Junior Johnson has won there. David Pearson has won there. So, look, I mean, there's a lot of history with that facility. And again, it's just like, a few years ago they ran on the dirt at Bristol, first dirt tracks in 71. And now they're going back to Bowman Gray for the first time in 71. I think with the clash, it's an opportunity to kind of move the event from place to place and have it someplace for a couple years and move it to someplace else. And we'll see how it does at Bowman Gray. But, it should be something exciting, different, and hopefully the weather is good in February of this year.
You guys sitting here talking about this place. I've never been there before, but you're talking about watching this sport and that sport in there. We have to take a second then, and we're going to keep it local here. If you've not known, Bristol Motor Speedway is going to host a Braves game.
Braves game, yeah.
Y'all don't know nothing about this. The Braves are going to play Cincinnati Reds next year, actually August 2nd, at Bristol. Yep. And Chipper is throwing out the first pitch. Chipper along with Kevin Harvick.
Yeah.
So,
what are your thoughts on that? What kind of comments have you heard about that, Dustin?
Well, I mean, Bristol Motor Speedway is the high-banked half-mile track in Bristol, Tennessee, and it's hosted a college football game. It was at Tennessee, Virginia Tech, and it was just a spectacular setting. Filled the place, and the place holds about 140,000, 150,000 people. Now, I think that they'll probably have some seats marked off for the baseball game, but you're still looking at a very large crowd, and it certainly would be, you know, those are fun things to go to, those type of events. It's different. It's not the exact same thing, but this year I was able to go to an outdoor hockey game in Charlotte, North Carolina with the minor league hockey team there at the minor league baseball park. And it's different, and it was a very festive atmosphere, whereas if you go to a regular stadium or arena for a game, it's focused on the game and what's happening on the court or the ice or the field. But the one thing with this hockey game that I know, it's the first time I'd gone to some sort of stadium type event, was just the atmosphere and how it was like a party and a celebration. And oh, by the way, there's all the stuff going on out there on the ice. And so I think it'll be a fun thing. I think somebody's got a regular season ticket holder or regularly goes to Braves games and they go to this, I think they'll find a little bit different atmosphere, and it could be a really fun time. And again, it's going to be something different, and you know, why not go up and see that? Not that far of a drive from Atlanta, and you know, it may be a once in a lifetime type of event.
Yep. Well, Dustin, we appreciate you joining this morning. See if you can't sell some things down with all the drama going on.
Yeah, all the stuff going on behind you there, man.
And put all the emphasis back on the track today up at Michigan when they come on later on today on USA Network.
All right, sounds good, guys. Have a great one.
Appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
All right.
I got something to say about that conversation when we come back. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com. Come on, be honest, Sam. If you could sing like this when you were 8 years old.
Oh, my goodness.
You'd be telling everybody that. Including your brothers. Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. 92.9thegame.com on this Sunday morning. 18th day of August. I want to thank Dustin for coming on with us, giving us his thoughts on what's going on up there at Michigan and the state of NASCAR right now and everything that was going on. But he was calling from an area that made me think of our friend. I like to call him a friend. The Roadrunner.
You think?
I'm thinking of the Roadrunner.
He
right
said
now.
He was on pit road.
He could have been moving.
Well, I don't know. He said he was greeting us from pit road. That's where he said. At the very top of our conversation with him.
Okay. But at times, didn't it sound like he was somewhere else?
Yeah, it did.
Okay, so I'm not crazy.
But it sounded like he was someplace else.
Sound like our Ralph Garr interview.
but at the same time, that's what he said as being calling us from pit road there at Michigan Internet.
Okay. Affectionately known as Dr.
They start at 2:30.
They do? Okay.
Late today.
Affectionately known as Dr. J, Julian. I'll just call him Julian. I won't put his last name out there. Worked with him on Necessary Roughness. He just sent me a couple texts. As a matter of fact, a couple people reached out after my dissertation earlier at 7:40 about my family and where I've been and the death of my father and all of that. So I want to thank him and them for that. Also want to thank John Grant, Executive Director of Celebration Bowl, came out here talking MEAC and SWAC Challenge. These guys are doing their thing. I love how this phrase is. This is actually be a thing. Week zero. I just like hearing it. You don't hear that much.
Mm-hmm.
And as a phrase, and I think that should apply more often. Joe Patrick, want to thank him. Layla Brock. We got Layla back here a bunch. She has got a long title. She's an executive with the Atlanta Dream. We'll leave it at that. Gold medalist Chris Bailey joined us. And I, off the top of my head, I forgot a school he went to here.
Oh,
he gave a shout out to everybody.
All the coaches over at Carver.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
And Dustin Long. I'm going to reach out to the folks at Game Changing Films. I need to be the liaison between them and the sports teams here. That could be a job. I want to create a job.
Would be.
Yeah. We'll see.
I mean, they'd appreciate it.
I think they would until they figure out they don't need me, and then I'll be fired from that job. So That's usually how it works, right?
No. Still kind of cloudy and overcast this morning, but it's supposed to still get up in the 90s later today. But after today, folks, a little cold spell with, well, I don't know which is a high-pressure system or a low-pressure system, whichever one drops through and cools things off, we're going to be in the 80s all this for the next 5 days.
As long as we don't get no rain, I'm good with that.
After today, no rain, and in the 80s. It'll feel a lot better in the morning. When you get up in the morning, it's going to feel better, you know?
All right.
So we've been in a place where you wake up in the morning, you walk outside, and your clothes cling to you.
Dude, I'm telling you what. It's so hot and humid, down right? there. By the way, I made it through Tifton County again.
Did you make it through Tifton?
I didn't get pulled over, get no
your
ticket.
Your dear friends.
Yeah, I did. Jesse was with me. Nothing happened.
Folks in Tift County.
But you got me looking forward to Bucky's. Unbelievable. Them houses down there, I discovered something.
Uh-huh.
They all got three cars in certain neighborhoods. But okay. They ain't got... I realized what that third one is for, right?
What's that?
The golf cart.
Oh,
it's like
go.
Everybody in Peachtree City. It hit me like halfway through this trip. I go, why do y'all ain't rich? What you got a three-car garage for? And then one morning, garage door went up. Come Ernie and Bert, you know, come up. And cruising up and down the street, so
nice.
Yeah, for their golf carts.
Nice.
If you don't to get in front of a TV today, we've got Action Dream versus Connecticut at tip off at 3 p.m. And of course, as the Falcons
go in person, as it would be at the down on the south side at the Gateway Center Arena, they'd be happy to see you there. And you know what? If you haven't been, it's an experience. You go there and it's a party, and then a basketball game takes place. You know, that's the best way I can explain going to
they used to say that about Braves games.
You know, well, it's
at the Ted, and even before that.
That's what's happening right now. You go there, and there's a party happening, great music, you know, people having a great time, and then basketball starts. Huh. You know?
So who did we have on? Was it today or yesterday? Atlanta sports fans and how they don't support their team. Somebody was on here railing about us.
Oh, no.
It was somebody was on here, but they were making a bigger point. It wasn't like they were attacking us. They were making a point about perception of Atlanta fans.
Okay.
And that goes back to, you know, during the Braves run and, you know, during World Series, the stadium wasn't full, and that they've sort of latched onto that and continued it. And somebody was talking about that earlier, and I was like, nah, that's not the case. But as you said, parties going on and a game breaks out.
Yeah.
That was always the case, especially out there with the Chop House and stuff. Hey, let me also, I talked about the Dream and Connect this afternoon, but as we get ready for Falcons Jacksonville throughout this upcoming week, we will be a part of what's going on out there at Flowery Branch, and want to remind you that starting tomorrow, Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell are going to be at the Falcons training camp. Wednesday, Andy and Randy and Dukes and Bell be at Falcons training camp. Friday, Andy and Randy will be where? At Twin Peaks.
Boy, there we go.
You thought I was going to say that other place.
That's Dukes and Bell, man. They're holding that one down.
Let me look
Dukes,
down here.
Got that one, holding that one down.
Well, see them happen up there a little bit there. Also.
Also?
I do not see. We need to make a call. Maybe Noel, but we need to make a call. You see this list of upcoming remotes?
Yes.
What is it missing?
Us.
Thank you. Next Sunday, the 25th, we'll be broadcasting live. It's Chateau Alon.
Yes, we will.
Again for the Jim Ellis Golf Tournament.
Yeah, we had a great time out there last
year. We had a wonderful time, met some people who had some interesting stories. The one person we met who actually quit his job and got into the film industry, but yet had a connection with Jim Ellis, so he got invited to the tournament. So, and you know, nice meeting, you know, a chance to see the Ellis family again.
Right.
Because they are all out there. So that is us next Sunday. We are there from 6 until 10.
Looking forward to that. Braves are in action. They're going to wrap up things out west today. 4:07 the game time. Charlie Morton is going to start for the Braves as they try to take 2 out of 3 from the Los Angeles Angels or the Angels of Anaheim or California Angels or whatever we're calling them this season. 11-3, the Braves were winners last night. And Chris Sale is now 14-3 on the year. That's an update from how things are going for him. And watch for the Braves. And see if they get another win today before they come home.
Hey, speaking for Noel, thank you for the little gift there. This thing here.
Oh, you
want to talk about that, right?
You mentioned that and thanks to Garrett Chapman.
Garrett
got in touch with me about coming to something, and I was like, huh? And he says, and he said that my country was going to be there, and she come to do something about sports. It was the 90th anniversary of the Georgia Association of Broadcasters, GAB, and Bob Houghton, we both know, yep. know from sometimes, has been the president of GAB, and now he's retiring from that position. But it's something they've had celebrations throughout the state, and it culminated at Assembly. Greg, we got to go out there so you can see this place,
okay.
Assembly, which is at the end of the MARTA rail right there in Doraville. Big studios out there, palatial studios. We didn't go in one of the studios. There was like an area where they hold receptions and things like that. That mm-hmm. was pretty nice. And a lot of people whose names you hear, people who have been involved in radio and TV. I got to see some people. I mean, if you're at something and Monica Pearson and Ryan Cameron are like co-hosting and they drop you in there, I'm like,
that mean, well, we all know you something.
And I'm like, what am I doing in a room with these
folks? No. They're asking really, that when they see you.
No, don't do that.
I ain't letting you do that.
I'm serious.
I'm serious, too. Don't let them. Ain't nobody got a bigger name in the city than you.
There's some folks that were out there. And plus some people who've been involved in management and ownership of broadcast properties throughout the state. Some okay. I hadn't seen in a while. So it was good for that type thing. But it was a grand occasion, and thankful I had a chance to be a part of that and picked up a few things on the way. I said, let me bring some stuff to my folks. Yeah.
Thank you. Noel, you want to thank? Well, like I said, he brought us this little stuff here. She's in the tall weeds. I see that serious look on her.
Yeah, she's trying to get us. He's trying to get us.
Also, we got to give a shout out to our, and it gives us a chance to mention what we have around the corner. We will be bringing back They Got Next.
Yes.
We did it.
I've had people ask me.
Yes, I have.
I've had people ask. Now that school is back, and I'll make some appeals out to some of our education professionals that we know. And
And it will be on a Sunday morning. We'll do it at 8 o'clock, just like we did it before.
Mm-hmm.
But this is an opportunity for 13-year-old and under to put together a one-minute sports report and come and bring it to Sam and Greg, and we're going to give you that opportunity. I say that because I got a picture yesterday,
yep.
and I sent it to you guys. And when I was saying Noelle's too busy, it got me thinking about her saying that she needed to get credentialed out there. Because Selah Thomas,
yep.
as in Terrell Thomas's daughter, was talking to
Paige Buckets.
Yes, yesterday.
I was like, what's Paige Buckets doing in town?
And she was here, and Selah got a chance. And by the way, her brother was there too. So you had Mello. He's just standing there.
Yeah.
But she was out there, and I believe Terrell said.
She was at the airplane hangar over here in Atlantic Station.
Yeah, man. So we got it.
OTE.
The story is we got to get Noelle credentialed so she can get out there and talk to Paige and whoever else is buzzing through town.
Folks like that coming through town, we got to find out, man. She might come through here and like what she sees and say, hey, I like to come play down here. You know, hey, we'll come down here and play on our team.
As we leave here. I want to say again, I want to thank Noel. I want to thank Garrett, too, because he sat in here last week while I was gone.
Yeah.
But I will never be able to express the love I have for you and what you have provided for me as I have gone through this with my father. And so I wanted to publicly say that to you. The people who, family members and the ones who showed up there that I didn't expect to show up, I thank them, but I wanted to make sure and I wanted to make a point as we ended this show today to say that to you because I will never be. I mean, listen, we've done things for each other, but this is my turn to tell you what you have done. And so there you go. Wanted to mention that to Mr. Crenshaw. Again, we have got action going on here. If you can't get in front of a TV, we've got WNBA action, Dream versus Connecticut, tip off at 3 p.m. We will be back next week. It is Sam and Greg, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com, and take us with you in the Odyssey app.